So, a traditional Jewish, Christian, and Muslim.
Atheist and agnostic as well.
It's true. And now this is the start of it.
Right?
Preston! That's how I'm going to start this show.
Yeah?
Preston, we're heading into the holiday season.
The holidays? Don't you mean the Christmas season?
You forgot one of my favorite holidays that we're going to talk about on the Holy Watermelon Podcast.
And what's your favorite holiday?
I mean... It is actually Christmas, but today we're going to talk about Diwali, the holiday for the Vedic religion.
Yeah, it's pretty much the big deal for most Hindu people, and it's not just a Hindu holiday. I thought that was kind of cool to dive into that in my studies.
Yeah, it is celebrated by Jain, Sikhs, and even some Buddhists. And in my reading, I kind of likened it to, you don't, in North America, you're not necessarily Christian if you're celebrating Christmas. It's just such a big deal that everyone jumps on board.
Yeah, it's basically the pan-Indian festival of lights. You could call it the shorter Indian Hanukkah, maybe?
I like that. I also find it really interesting. It is an official holiday in, I think it's 13 countries. And I just found which countries very interesting. So Fiji, Guyana, India, Malaysia, Mauritius, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, Singapore, Sri Lanka, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago, which that's almost every continent.
Yeah.
Has it as an official holiday.
I mean... White folks did a pretty good job of shipping Indian kids all over the place. So we've got that.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously there's Indian people all over the world, but to make it an official holiday, right? It's not an official holiday in Canada, even though we have a huge population.
Right.
Or in America. So I thought it was interesting that Mauritius and Trinidad and Tobago were the two that stood out to me. Africa and North America.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. It is kind of interesting. It's a holiday that is all over the place, and it seems like an awful lot of people don't really have any clue what it is.
No, and actually by the time this episode airs, Diwali will actually be over. It was on November 4th this year, but it changes every year. There's a Hindu lunar calendar, kind of like there's an Islamic lunar calendar, and so the date changes based off of moon cycles.
And so we have writings about Diwali dating back about 1,300 years. Kind of nifty to know that we have some solid history behind this. But Diwali has been celebrated certainly longer than that.
How long would we have celebrated Christmas in comparison? I mean, it's not like 2 CE. They were like, yeah, it's Jesus' second birthday. I mean, Mary and Joseph probably celebrated his birthday because it's their kid, but... As we know it now.
You know what? I don't know exactly when we started celebrating Christmas. I haven't done that study yet, but as we creep closer to Christmas, that is actually a thing that is on our horizon.
It's true. We are going to do an episode on the Nativity, so we'll get that answer for you then. But I was just curious, you know. In North America, when Christmas is, we think it's the be-all, end-all, that, you know, something it was probably... Definitely celebrated longer than.
Yeah.
I digress.
And so Diwali coincides with the Hindu New Year. Changes every year as it follows the Hindu lunar calendar, as Katie mentioned. And it's done on a new moon sometime between October and November. So shifts a little bit. That's kind of the framework that we have from year to year.
So the month it happens in is called Kartika. Kartika. Kartika.
I mean, you can make it sound as white as you want. We're gonna do it wrong.
Absolutely. But there's no way we're doing this right. And it happens on the darkest day of Kartika, so on the new moon. And I am assuming is that because it's the festival of lights, so that would make the lights more brilliant.
I think that's part of it.
But also even further, the metaphor of, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but it's the Festival of Lights. It's about good defeating evil. So emphasizing that light in the darkness metaphor.
Light overcoming darkness, intelligence and wisdom overcoming ignorance. There's kind of some heavy-handed symbolism here, but I like it.
Isn't every major holiday some heavy-handed symbolism? Yes. Now, I love this, that Diwali is generally, especially in India, a five-day festival, with the third day being the big day.
The climax of the whole thing.
Wow. And I like that because it's like, we basically do that with Christmas, but we just stress ourselves out way more because chances are we're still at work. But there is that sort of build up and rundown before and after, and they just accept it, and I like that.
Yeah, I like the first day is literally clean your house and get ready.
Right. Yeah, prepare your house. There's a tradition of buying a new metal kitchen tool as a sign of good luck. I do that on the first day too.
That's optimistic.
I like it.
I like that feeling. When I buy a new kitchen tool, it's definitely a, I'll probably use this a lot.
Right?
This will change my
life. You totally would use it for what the next days are coming for.
Definitely.
So you can really like plan a great. Day two is like the big prep day where people would decorate their homes with the lamps, prep food, and create Rangoli patterns on the floor using colored sand. I highly recommend looking up Rangoli on YouTube and just like relaxing for hours.
It's a great way to just zone out. It's better than just staring into a fire because you get to watch this intense piece of art being created, knowing that it's not permanent. It's going to be blown away, swept up, tossed away. It's the impermanence is a nifty part of that art tradition.
Oh, see, I like the whole like ASMR watching satisfying things aspect.
Sure, yeah.
So if that's your jam, we'll look up some Rangoli to celebrate Diwali this year.
Right? I've watched so much on Reddit. It's probably a little embarrassing to admit how much time I've spent there.
Just watching Rangoli?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right? It actually took me a while before I realized that it was Rangoli. I
just thought it was some cool sand art.
Yeah. But it has a name and it's pretty nifty.
And it's very, I won't say very specific to Diwali, but it is a big part of Diwali.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you want a Rangoli in June, you go hard.
Sure.
You can't get that good if you don't, I presume.
I think you need a lot of practice.
Anyway, day three of Diwali, like I said, is the big day. And it's marked with prayers, fireworks, again, Festival of Light, big celebrations, and eating all that food that we prepared.
Yeah, as I was studying, I've discovered that this day is kind of like the 4th of July in a lot of ways. Especially when we're talking about emergency room intake, because fireworks.
I was looking up local Diwali celebrations. I thought it'd be something fun we could do.
Yeah.
We've actually missed them all. They were early. I don't understand why.
We've already missed them all. And we're recording before Diwali.
Before Diwali, yeah. They were in the middle of October. Not to date this episode too much, but we missed them all. And I was reading on like a government website that there's 4 days that you legally can have your own fireworks. Victoria Day, Canada Day, Diwali, and New Year's Eve.
Huh.
There you go.
There's so much of what is generally called white privilege in North American laws where, you know, white holidays get actual legal designations and everything else is just extra. But it's nice to see Diwali get some special needed status.
And I want to go to the Diwali fair next year.
Yeah.
Because I'm sad we missed it. But
what? So we have the fireworks early.
No, fireworks will be on Diwali on the 4th.
Just all the celebrations are on a
day. So like all the community fireworks. Celebrations at the mall down the street. They had a Diwali fair, and that was whatever the 16th to 17th that weekend.
See, I feel like your Diwali fair would be incomplete without fireworks.
I mean, maybe they had like official, not private fireworks, but those are the only 4 days you're allowed private fireworks.
Okay. I accept.
Okay.
As long as it's not something like the government screwed up when you're allowed to have fireworks, so they switched.
No, this was like a community celebration. And then if you want private fireworks, you can still do it on November 4th.
Okay, I accept.
Okay.
That's better news than I thought I was getting.
Day four will vary from, I mean, everything will vary from person to person and region to region. But I found it is often dedicated to worshiping tools of work. So the example they gave is the businessman with their ledgers, or Katie and Preston celebrating their audio gear.
Makes good sense. I mean, it's an odd flavor for the average Christian, but for somebody who is just grateful for the things that they have that let them do the work that brings in their money, that makes perfect sense.
I think this also relates to your dharma, right? Your yes. purpose on the planet and, yeah. you know, having some gratitude for that.
Exactly.
Which is probably a good thing.
I think so.
All right. It's also the first day of the new year, so people will also often visit with family and friends and relatives. I imagine they would have done so a little bit on the day before, but again, if you need a Christian alternative, it's like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Well, we see tons of family on those 2 days. So.
Right.
And day five, it's about sibling relationships. So sisters will pray for the well-being of their brothers, and brothers will visit their married sisters. So it's about sibling relationships on day five.
Yeah, I think it's important to encourage that visitation, especially in parts of the world where the tradition is that you don't see some parts of your family as often as others.
It's also nice, you know, and we're both at this stage of life where, you know, we make the effort to go to our parents, but when you're married and your spouse has parents, then it might not all coincide with your siblings, right?
Right.
If, you know.
Yeah, of all of my siblings, I've been to a couple of their homes in the last 10 years, and not terribly often, especially compared to how often I've been to, say, my mom's house.
Right.
So I can definitely understand the need to make this a solid tradition.
I like that.
It's nice. And it, like we said before, it has a strong Thanksgiving flavor. And as Thanksgiving is kind of around this time in America and about a month ago here in Canada, this idea of Thanksgiving has been talked about a whole bunch, and everyone seems to think that Thanksgiving is super racist, and I keep correcting them. No, Columbus Day is super racist, but Thanksgiving is the oldest religious festival on the planet.
Yeah.
It's tightly connected to the harvest and gratitude to whatever God is connected to the harvest for all of the things that keep us alive for the year.
I learned this year that Canadian Thanksgiving is linked to the date they found the Northwest Passage. Like, that's because they had to pick something, so they kind of went, boop.
Well, for years and years and years, Thanksgiving moved around from year to year based on whatever the government said. Hey,
it's time for a holiday.
Yeah, and it was always Thanksgiving for a specific thing.
Mm.
As a unifying national thing.
Well, that's kind of cool, too.
And then we picked a day and stopped having the government say, hey, we want to be thankful for this one thing, which I understand why people would complain about the government saying, hey, you need to be thankful for this. But it's also nice to have a unified nation in that one thing for that one day.
Even if it's just for a moment.
Yeah. So during this Thanksgiving feeling Festival of Lights Diwali celebration, prayers are popularly offered to Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. Though with such a huge population of Hindus and their variety of gods, you can find people who associate Diwali with one of maybe a dozen gods. It's kind of diverse.
Like anything.
Your mileage may vary.
And your mileage. Yes, don't fight a Hindu person if they say they celebrate a different god on Diwali just because you heard us say Lakshmi on the Holy Watermelon Podcast. But the Holy Watermelon Podcast said, don't do that.
Anytime you want to tell another person you believe this thing, you're probably wrong.
You know what we haven't said in a long time, though? Just don't be a dick.
Right?
Just a good reminder. So I wrote this thinking I was so clever. So Lakshmi is a bit of a magpie. And so that's part of the reason of the Festival of Lights is that she likes bright lights. And if you catch her attention with your lanterns, then you will receive her blessing.
Sure.
Also, I found this post Preston's review. She also only enters clean homes, which is part of the cleaning ritual on the first day. And I was just thinking, like, from a historical perspective, right, the Vedic religion is thousands and thousands of years old. This probably came from, like, encouraging general hygiene and health in your space.
I think that's a pretty good policy one way or the other.
Also a great way to start the new year.
Right?
So, anyway, that's when I learned a little bit extra about Lakshmi for you.
Right? Here we just call it spring cleaning because we have our new year a little later.
And we all know it's too cold to open any windows right. In January.
It's a thing we desperately need. All right. And there's also offerings of food that are left out for the gods, which I want to say runs the danger of cluttering your home and making the house not exactly what Lakshmi or whatever god you're inviting, making them uncomfortable. But basically, don't be a dummy and keep a tidy house and don't leave food everywhere.
Yeah, no, this is not saying be a slob. It's like leave a plate out for Lakshmi.
Like Santa Claus.
Like Santa Claus, right? Milk. You know, yeah. Exactly. Perfect analogy.
I mean, it's not great, but we started off with this is like Christmas in a couple of ways, and this is one of those ways.
And then my next point starts with the words just like Christmas. So people, just like Christmas, people update their homes and wardrobes, exchange gifts, and have parties leading up to Diwali. It's really not that foreign to us.
Right.
If you're wondering what your South Asian neighbors are doing in the next few, or guess what they did last week by the time this comes out. They're just having early Christmas.
Right. Or early Hanukkah. Whatever your familiar
friend. Whatever your familiar. Yes.
As something that's pretty common to my experience of Christmas and Hanukkah is there is usually some gambling that happens over Diwali as a just a nice social thing that people do together. So usually it's card games when related to Diwali, kind of like the scratch-off tickets that somebody's going to put in your stocking.
I love getting those.
Or the dreidel that's common in Hanukkah. So it's a good time for people to just have fun. And when adults have fun, it seems like often gambling is involved.
So, Brian will decide if we keep this in the episode, but you know how he has terrible luck with basically every board game?
Yeah.
Our audio guy / my husband has terrible luck with every board game. And one Christmas, we were coming to pick up his brother to go to the next family, and they were all playing a game of Romoli, and they all just brought, like, a roll of nickels, so it was $2. Everyone put a nickel for everything, so, like, no big investment, but there was some real money in it at the end. And so Grandpa, like, bought Brian tin because we didn't bring any nickels. Brian cleaned up and left with $15.
Wow. Good deal.
Considering, A, we didn't buy it at all. And, like, people only paid $2 each. Like, we cleaned house. That's great.
Did Grandpa ask for his $2?
He didn't. Grandpa just let us take all the money.
That's some good spirit.
You know, a little bit of gas money when you're traversing the country for Christmas.
Was right.
Great. Preston, what are we celebrating on Diwali?
I mean, there's a lot, but there's generally broadly speaking, from one group to the next, there's usually this theme of triumph of good over evil. Most religious holidays have a little bit of this flavor, and it's leaned into pretty heavily in the stories that get told over Diwali. And there's a lot of different stories depending on your local tradition and religious affiliation, of course. But many who observe the tradition anchor their celebration to the story of Lord Rama. So, I've made some point notes here so I can keep myself on track and not drag this out way too long.
I'm ready for story time.
But if you want to dig into the story of Lord Rama later on and really enjoy the depth and the details of it, it's actually a pretty good story. But basically, here's the gist of it. The king of Ayodhya had three wives and several daughters, but he really, really wanted a son. So he offered a sacrifice, and his wish was granted. Each of his wives had a son or two, each of whom received a bit of Vishnu's power, because Vishnu needed to defeat the demon Ravana as a mortal rather than in his divine character, so that he could keep Ravana from oppressing the gods. The dynamic that we see here in the Hindu pantheon is a lot different than we see in a lot of other theological models, where this is possible. A demon can oppress swaths of gods, and this is a problem. But apparently, he can be defeated by a mortal with a little bit of divine help. It's kind of a rock, paper, scissors thing, I guess. I don't know. So one of these sons, Rama, when he was 16, somebody came to the royal court to get help against the demons who were interfering with sacrifices. And Rama was chosen as champion to lead the fight against these demons. And his brother Lakshmana tagged along, kind of like a Frodo and Sam deal.
Aww.
He's a very loyal brother. He's kind of cute. And he sticks with him all the way through the story.
Aww.
Whatever happens, Lakshmana is there with Rama.
And actually, before you even said the Sam and Frodo, and we were talking about the mortal defeating the demon, I was thinking of Eowyn. I am no man.
Right?
That's what I thought of. So it's basically Lord of the Rings, guys.
Except way older.
So Lord of the Rings stole it, is what I'm hearing.
I mean,
when
you have a dude trying to build a mythology for England, and like that's actually his goal, he's going to be borrowing elements of stories from all over the place that really work.
We should do an episode on that.
Sure. I'm in. All right. So we've got Rama, Frodo, and Lakshmana.
Sam!
So their adventure has them vanquish an awful lot of demons. But Rama's real show of power was in the court of Janaka, the king of Mithila. Janaka found his baby daughter in the ground while plowing it, like under the ground.
So she's the potato.
Kinda, yeah. But she's supposed to be beautiful. She's a beautiful potato.
A beautiful potato.
And the way it's described is so weird, like tearing the ground apart. She was in the ground. Not like, oh, I'm working and found a baby sitting in the grass.
No, like a potato.
Like a potato.
Yeah, I'm following you.
It's so weird, though. But that's the story. So he finds this girl and decides to take her home, names her Sita. And when she was old enough to marry, he announced to the world that if a man could lift the heavy bow that had been presented to his family by Shiva generations earlier, he could marry Sita. Rama not only lifted the bow, but broke the string when he tried to draw it.
Ooh, so strong.
He's so strong.
So strong.
So Rama and his brothers get to marry the daughters of King Janaka. So things get pretty nice for him.
Yeah, life is pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Sita's father is ready to step down as king, he wants Rama to take over. He's earned it. But Rama's stepmother calls in a favor from her husband, Rama's father, and has Rama and Sita exiled from the country for 14 years so that her son Bharata can be king. And this is where the nation of India gets its real name, Bharata.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I thought so. So Rama's wife and loyal brother follow him into exile.
Nah.
Where they have even more epic adventures over the course of 14 years, including a great battle of wits and steel with the terrible god-crushing demon Ravana, before Rama returns victorious to the kingdom of Ayodhya, which is promptly offered to him again. So Diwali, in some traditions, celebrates this triumphant return in addition to the destruction of Ravana.
That's a really great story.
Right? I mean, and it's so much better when it's not just summarized in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I can see us sitting by the Diwali fireplace and listening to that story.
Right?
Yeah.
It's some good fun.
Yeah.
And there's alternate versions of the story, of course, because this story has been told for so long and has been told for so long before literacy was common. So variation happens. The Buddhist version, for the handful of Buddhists that find the story important, they call Rama Rama Pandita, and he is said to be the previous incarnation of Gautama Buddha.
Oh, interesting. So yeah. Pre-Buddhism.
Right.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. When Rama goes into exile, he actually is exiled to the Himalayas in the Buddhist version of the story. Mm-hmm. And so that connects to that little part of the world really nicely. And the weird thing is that the Buddhist version of the story doesn't actually include any war with Ravana or any mention of the demon-crushing or the god-crushing demon Ravana. But other Buddhist literature does talk about him, so it's kind of odd that he is left out of this story.
I have a question that is going to take us a step back, but
yeah.
It just came to my head. Where can me and our listeners find the full story of Rama? Where'd you find it?
Yeah, the story of Rama is called Ramayana, and it's actually like the Lord of the Rings. There's a book one, book two, book three business, that kind of thing.
All right.
It's a few books that build up this one huge epic.
To the culminating with the defeat of Ravana.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right. I will let you continue with the other Diwali historical stuff.
All right. In the Jain tradition, we haven't really explored Jainism a lot, but it's basically a slightly newer branch of the Vedic religion that's not so tightly tied to the Vedas, really. It's it looks an awful lot like Hinduism, but it's just a little bit different. We will have to take some time to explore that a little later on.
I have some earmarked for next year.
So in the Jain tradition, Rama is unwilling to kill. So it's actually his brother Lakshmana who kills Ravana.
Oh, so a real Sam hero.
Yeah. It's kind of great.
Yeah.
This version also has Rama renounce the kingdom to become a monk who goes on to achieve moksha while both his brother and Ravana go to hell.
No!
Yes.
Not Lakshmana. That makes me really upset.
Right? Imagine a world where it just seems like everyone just accepts that Sam and Sauron get to be neighbors for eternity.
No, I don't like that.
There's good news.
Okay.
Hell isn't forever.
Oh, good.
So there's, in the Jain tradition, there's still that cycle of resurrection, reincarnation, rather. And so the tradition around these two is that they are both, even in this story, predicted to come back as even greater righteous people. So even Ravana will be reborn as a righteous man and serve as an omniscient teacher for Jains everywhere, kind of like the next big savior.
That's,
but not the next one, but sometime in the future. It's kind of...
That's another happy ending.
Right?
To be celebrated.
Right?
During Diwali.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because even these terrible figures can see the light, be enlightened, and achieve moksha, and just be everything that we would have hoped that their former selves would have been.
Yeah.
So, lights.
Lights. Good defeating evil.
Yeah. And, of course, like I said before, these stories predate common literacy. So from little group to little group, you will see some variation in these stories.
Especially something this old.
Yeah.
And with such a big population of Hindus and obviously Jains and Buddhists around the world.
So yeah.
Just like other religious holiday traditions vary from person to person.
Yeah. Your mileage may vary.
Another story, and we don't have as many details on this as we do with the Rama story, but it is commonly told in India, is about a battle between Krishna, who is an avatar of Vishnu, and the demon king Narakasura. After Krishna's victory, he freed 16,000 young girls. So another great reason to celebrate.
Right. It sounds like a terrible situation.
Absolutely.
Definitely a great victory.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned before, Diwali is commonly associated with Lakshmi, the bite of Vishnu. And some traditions have Diwali as the time of her birth in the cosmic ocean of milk, which sounds really weird when you first hear it. And then you realize that, you know, the biggest thing in our night sky is the Milky Way. That's literally how we named the galaxy, is the Milky Bit.
The Milky Bit.
So this, as much as it sounds weird when you first hear it, it's like, that's literally how every ancient people looked up at the sky.
St. Bernard would be all over that.
Right? Gotta love St. Bernard. While her story isn't exactly as epic as Rama's, after overcoming obstacles, Lakshmi goes on to marry Vishnu on this anniversary that is commemorated by the Diwali that we now know.
Another god that can appear is actually Kali. So for some, Diwali reminds the faithful of the victorious Kali, the mother of all living beings and master of time and death. She is said to destroy evil to protect the good and innocent. So since the Festival of Lights is a celebration of all that is good, the connection makes sense even without there being this big epic story like the Ramayana.
Right? I like it. Saraswati is also revered at this time because of her gifts of knowledge and writing. They're essential to victory over ignorance. And her gift of music is particularly germane to any good celebration. So, like I mentioned before, the flavor of Thanksgiving is present as some of the prayers are offered to Kuvera, the god of wealth. But he is also a protector who assists in the triumph of knowledge and good over ignorance and evil.
In Jainism, Diwali also celebrates the final death of Mahavira, a savior and a teacher, as he achieved nirvana. So, yeah, that's also something. Not everyone achieves nirvana. So, right.
Some people get stuck here for a long time.
Oh, it'll be me. And we didn't talk much about it, but Sikhs also recognize Diwali. I imagine a lot of this is regional influence, but they celebrate as the day that the city of Amritsar was founded, and later the day Guru Hargobind was released from prison and arrived at the Golden Temple in Amritsar.
So it's not just Hindus, but a solid civic thing that has an awful lot of religious connotations for all kinds of people for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you really get to put your own meaning on because it does sort of fall into the civic, almost secular holiday in India. Where again, the core belief, the core celebration is there. Yeah, you just put your own spin on it. Like, we celebrate Christmas, but we're very vocal about not being Christian, but the core of, you know, all that is good and lovely in the world, we can get behind. And food.
You're already collecting your Christmas stuff, too.
No, that I bought it while I was on holidays, and I just haven't put it away, and now it doesn't make sense to put away. Don't at me, Preston. Final thoughts, conclusions for Diwali and its place in Hinduism?
As far as I'm able to tell, it's a big deal for good reason. Great stories are told, and great time is shared with family, and fireworks. Any holiday with fireworks is going to be some fun.
Great. And gambling. Fireworks, right? Gambling, good food.
What else do you need? Music. But they include that, too.
They're very good.
It's not like they left that out.
And their beats would slap way more than our Christmas hymns, for sure.
I went 20 years without being aware of Indian music.
What? I'm so sorry.
And I don't even know how that happened. And then I started hanging out with a girl who isn't from India, but just really liked Indian guys. And so I started listening to Indian music with her.
Fair.
And some of it slaps.
Yeah. No, it's great. As we mentioned, we're recording just before Diwali, and by the time this is published, it will be after Diwali. So, unfortunately, not this year, but I strongly encourage you and me and Preston next year to go check out some of your community events. There will absolutely, you know, COVID notwithstanding, there will absolutely be public events for Diwali, so you don't need to, if you're not comfortable going to a temple or inviting yourself over to your neighbor's house. There will absolutely be public celebrations that, you know, just a great way to check it out and have an extra holiday in your year. Yeah. Those would be my final thoughts.
I think that we're doing a pretty kick-ass job of celebrating Diwali, being such as it is, the conquest of knowledge over ignorance, since that's exactly the motive behind our show.
I love it. We should get some Indian food next week and record our next episode.
I like it.
All right.
All right. So before we go.
I know. I was like, what's next?
I want to thank everybody for listening to us, especially in this busy holiday season that we're creeping up into. We have all kinds of social media that you can follow us on. We got Facebook, Instagram. We got a Discord server that we're having some good fun on. And we also have a Patreon that we would love to get your support.
And holiday season. Preston, you can't forget our Spreadshirt where you can buy some sick holy watermelon merch to give for Diwali or Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa.
Whatever occasion you can find to give a gift
from the Holy Watermelon Podcast, you should do it. Just the hard sell right there. I'm such a bad salesperson. Hard sell. Buy our stuff.
I like it.
All right. Peace be with you.
By the late Middle Ages, the Christian prophecies had fulfilled itself.
Hey, what are you still doing here? Well, your commitment will be rewarded. We're having a giveaway. Thanks to the lovely folks at Blackbird Farm and Apothecary, we have a pair of very sexy holy watermelon tumblers and coasters, perfect for the holiday season. All you need to do is check out the posts on our Instagram and Facebook, follow us, like the post, and tag a friend. And one entry per tag. It'll be great. The winner will be announced December 10th, 2021. Be sure to check out our friends at Blackbird Farm and Apothecary on Facebook.